Today, as we come to the table,
what we believe as Christians or what my pastor said, they don't care. There's no power. And you know what? They're right. But if we go and we say, Jesus Christ said this, it says this in chapter that, verse that, now there's power. And whether or not they acknowledge it, they may not like it, the power still exists. You know, Pilate denied it. Jesus said, those who hear my voice, they know truth. What's truth? He mocked it. What's truth? And yet he was still afraid of the Lord, wasn't he? It says Pilate feared the Lord. And he tried from that point on to release him because he knew there's something, there's a power here. And I don't like this. I don't agree with it. There's a power here. When you guys stand on the word of God, there's a power that can't be denied. It's the true power of God.
In a world where every person's opinion is the final word, your opinion as a Christian isn't going to change anyone's mind. Your opinion is powerless, but we have been given words with power in them. Today, Pastor Mark shares that the words of Scripture have an authority that cannot be fully denied or ignored. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. When you stand on the Word of God, the power of God that is living and active in His Word cannot be denied. So we need to know our Scripture. Get into the book and start tapping into the power that comes from the Word of God. Pastor Mark gives us a great reminder today that we have all the power we need. Now let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Acts chapter 17 as he continues his message, More Noble-Minded.
There's going to be times where people, even with their best intentions, are going to say something that may not be right. You've got to go to the Word of God yourself and find out what is right and what is wrong. And if you don't, you're going to be held accountable to the Lord. Either way, you're going to be held accountable. And guys, this is so important. The example I gave you is physical. We're talking about eternity here. This is an eternal decision and eternal things that you're making. Now, as we get into this today, we're going to see, as I said, these two different groups of believers. We're going to see one group of believers who just believed everything Paul said. Big mistake. Aren't you glad it was Paul? What if it had been a false teacher? What if a false teacher shows up and you believe everything they say? No, that's a bad category to be in, even as a real believer. Now, here's the other category. That was the Thessalonians. Here's the other category, the Bereans. And we'll get to them in a moment. The Bereans didn't believe everything Paul said. They didn't necessarily doubt him or think he was lying or doing anything on purpose that was wicked. But they said, you know what? We're going to go to the Bible. And unless we see it in the Bible, we're not going to believe it. Guys, we need to be those unless we see it in the Bible. I'm not talking about a doubting Thomas when it comes to faith or, Lord, unless I see the Lord risen, I won't believe. No, that's a whole different category. We're talking about what's in the Word of God and what has been delivered to us. And if we can't see it in the Word of God, we should have nothing to do with it because we're going to get ourselves in trouble if we do. Now, notice this story. It starts out again with Paul traveling from where he is in Philippi going on to, again, Thessalonica. Chapter 17, verse 1. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Now, this is key here, because remember, we saw in Philippi, there was no synagogue of the Jews. It's about a 100-mile journey. And we made the point that unless there were at least 10 Jewish males, they wouldn't have a synagogue. They wouldn't even put one together. You would go and just worship wherever, oftentimes down by the river, which is where he found Lydia, if you remember, and the other women that were worshiping, because the men were gone. Probably Rome had run all the men, the Jewish men out. They were scattering them to different parts of the empire and harassing the Jews, if you will, because of their beliefs. But we saw the women down there, because they would go near water where they could do all their ritualistic things. But now we come to a town that actually has a synagogue, Thessalonica, which shows there was a larger Jewish population. And we're going to see, as was normally what Paul did, he goes in to share with the Jews. Notice verse 2. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them, note this, from the Scriptures. Now, there's several things to make note of. Number one here, notice it says, as his custom was. That is, everywhere Paul went, the first thing he did was look for a synagogue. And then first he would go into the synagogue to share the gospel with the Jews. Why? Because the Bible says that the Messiah was sent first to the Jew and then the Gentiles. So you see, the early church, when it began, was focusing it on the Jew initially, and then as the Jews rejected, it switched over to the Gentiles, which is us. But Paul followed this pattern. This was his way to go to the Jews, to try to reason with them, to make sense with them, and to bring them into the kingdom. And sadly, there were very few that did. And by the way, because there were so few that did, and they rejected the Lord as a nation, Paul tells us in Romans that God has temporarily blinded the eyes of the Jewish people. Their eyes have been temporarily blinded so that for the most part, they can't believe until the very end, when the Bible says God will pour out his Spirit once again on the Jews and on the nation of Israel, and there will be a great revival. Now, is there a remnant? Obviously, there's a remnant. And we're going to see that some do believe, but the majority of them don't. But now, here's a couple things to note about this. When it says Paul reasoned with them, take note of this. The first thing I want you to note is this, that Christianity is a faith of reason. A lot of people try to say that Christianity is just a blind leap of faith or a blind leap of this. There's nothing blind leap about it. If you look at the facts of what the Bible says and you look at the facts of what has happened in history, it's very believable and very reasonable. You mean to tell me it's reasonable that a man raised from the dead? Well, if you've got 500 witnesses saying they saw him, that's pretty reasonable to me. And the Bible says they were, for the most part, all still alive when Paul was writing this. So had it been false, it would have been easy to run it down and find out it was a big lie. And the fact that the 11 closest followers of the Lord in the world, they all gave their life, except for John, who survived on the island of Patmos. They gave their life for the Lord in believing because they had seen him and they knew him. Listen, this is a reasonable faith. It's reasonable to believe what happened because the historical evidence is in place. But the second thing I want you to notice about the reasoning here is that notice what how he reasoned with them. And guys, this is key for us in our day more than ever, especially with all the opinions that are out there. Notice it says he reasoned with them from the scriptures. There's your starting point. I cringe when I see believers in front of the camera or the microphone, and I know it's just we're all at different places. I'm not saying they did something wrong. It's just I want to help them. Because I see oftentimes whenever you're asked as a Christian about an argument, maybe it's a cultural issue. What do you think about, you know, name any of same-sex marriage, or what do you think about abortion, or what do you think about, and all these issues that are out in our society today, and they all come up. What do Christians think about them? Listen, if all we say is this, well, my viewpoint is this, and I think it's wrong because I was raised in a Christian home, and my parents believed it was wrong, and I've always just kind of felt in my heart that it was wrong. Does that have any power at all? Zero. No power. Why? It's just an opinion. Now the next guy goes, well, I was raised in a home that wasn't Christian, and we believe in all these things, and we think it's okay, and I've never seen anything to say that it's wrong. They seem to really care about each other, or they seem to have been born that, whatever the reason might be that's floating around for the different excuses or whatever. And then the next, well, that sounds like a good argument to me. And everybody's out there going, well, I guess we just picked the best opinion, right? How different it is to say, well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse so-and-so, it says this. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse that. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse that. You see the difference in the power? There's some authority. The Word of God says it. Now, that doesn't mean the world is going to bow down and go, well, we believe the Bible, but that's the authority is the Word of God. Here's my point in this. If we're going to be sharing with people and reasoning with them to bring them into the kingdom and try to show what is right and wrong in our society today, it has to come from the basis of the Scriptures. It has to come from the basis of the Bible because our opinion doesn't matter. Everybody has opinions. We have to find out what the truth is. And Jesus said, he is the truth. He said, I'm the truth. He said, I'm the one. You've got to come to me. And so the ultimate authority is the Word of God. And that's where we have to stand. By the way, that's why the Bible is so attacked. Why do you think the Bible is so attacked? Satan zeroes in on the Bible. And why does he zero in on the Bible? Well, the Bible was written by man. Well, the Bible has errors. Well, the bottom line is I've never seen anybody that could find an error in the Bible. And it can't be written by man because it's too supernatural and contains prophecy, which has predicted the future and up to this point has been 100% accurate. And yet even in the so-called scientific community, the big attack, well, we've proven scientifically. I have a question for you. How often are the science books updated? Even in our universities, because they find errors and mistakes in things they were wrong about. Every year they have to update them, every year. And quite frankly, on a monthly basis. Now let me ask you another question. How often has the Bible had to be updated? Never. Which one do you think you stand on more solid ground with, gang? And yet we get intimidated. Well, I'm afraid because his name says professor and he's got a white coat on. You know, well, maybe they just wrap him up in it and take him somewhere, you know? Because the Word of God says this. And it has stood the test of time. And Jesus Christ said that it was God's word and that it was true and that it would be eternal. We have solid ground to stand on. We have nothing to be afraid of. But if we take our argument to the world, if we take our reasoning to the world based on our opinion, what we believe at Calvary Chapel, or what we believe as Christians, or what my pastor said, they don't care. There's no power. And you know what? They're right. But if we go and we say, Jesus Christ said this, it says this in chapter that, verse that, now there's power. And whether or not they acknowledge it, they may not like it, the power still exists. You know, Pilate denied it. Jesus said, those who hear my voice, they know truth. What's truth? He mocked it. What's truth? And yet he was still afraid of the Lord, wasn't he? It says Pilate feared the Lord. And he tried from that point on to release him because he knew there's something, there's a power here. And I don't like this. I don't agree with it. There's a power here. When you guys stand on the word of God, there's a power that can't be denied. It's the true power of God. And so we have to stand on it and use it. And so again, he reasoned with them from the scriptures. Look at verse 3, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, this Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ. Now, why would that be such an important message to the Jews? Because the Jews didn't believe the Messiah had to die. They believed the Messiah was going to come back, and when he did, he would rule the world. That is why so many Jews didn't believe in Jesus, because their pastors were teaching them that when the Messiah came, he would take the world over. The problem they had was they were listening to their pastors rather than reading the word of God for themselves. And had they read Isaiah chapter 52 at the end and Isaiah chapter 53, they would have seen the Messiah had to suffer. And if they'd read Psalm 22 on their own, they would have seen that he had to die and resurrect again. And had they looked at the scripture, they'd have seen all this, but they didn't. They just believed their pastor. They were like the Thessalonians, but they weren't like the Bereans. He was explaining and demonstrating to them from the scriptures what it is the Bible says has to happen, and that's where the power lies. And look at the result of it. Verse 4, and some, I have that underlined, were persuaded. How sad that only some were persuaded. Why? Because they had been taught so much throughout their life that the Messiah would not die but would rule and reign when he came. That'll happen the second time. But because they didn't know the Bible good enough, what? My people perished due to a lack of knowledge. And today the Jews are still perishing in mass because they don't know the word of God. Now, there's some that are saved. Praise the Lord for that. There's a remnant. And we're going to see a great revival among them in the very end. But here, only some believed. But look at this. Now, God moving among the Gentiles who didn't have their preconceived notions. They just believed the word of God. And a great multitude of the devout Greeks. Notice they believed. And not a few of the leading women, joining Paul and joining Silas. So again, God was moving among them. Note this. Now, there's a result here. But the Jews who were not persuaded, becoming envious, took some evil men from the marketplace and gathering a mob, set all the city in an uproar and attacked the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. Now, it's amazing. Notice this. They don't like what they're saying. They become envious and they attack them. Guys, note this. When people become envious of you, the attack is on the way. Some of you this morning may be under attack. You know, why is it that I'm being so attacked? Why is this happening in my life? Well, if you find out that there's no real reason for you to be attacked, then probably it's because somebody's jealous. Probably it's because somebody's envious. You've got something they want. You look away, they want to look. Whatever the case might be, they're upset because you're more popular or whatever. You know, we see that at the immature level in the junior high and high school, but it also happens among adults. And so now we have basically these group of pastors who are believing and teaching a certain thing. Paul and Silas show up and they begin from the scriptures teaching what's really right. And they get jealous and they get envious because they're getting the crowds. And the people are following them. And so they begin to attack them. And they're going to gossip and slander them. We're going to see in a moment that not only they stir up the crowd here, but they trouble all the peoples. Everywhere they go, they're troubling peoples. You know, I've noticed that when people become jealous and envious, it's not enough for them to be troubled. They've got to trouble everybody else around them. Have you noticed that? And so now Paul is having to deal with this, and Silas is having to deal with this because of their jealousy and their envy, and they stir the crowd up. So this big uproar, they go to arrest him at the house of Jason, verse 6. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, "These who have turned the world upside down have come here too." What a great accusation. I wish people would say, man, you know, the church of Knoxville, these people here in Knoxville, the Christians in Knoxville, they're turning the world upside down. They're turning the whole state upside down. Knoxville's turning the whole state upside down, and we got to go deal with this. Wouldn't that be a great accusation? As long as it was because we were teaching the word, right? If it wasn't that, it may be a bad thing. But what's amazing to me is the world was already upside down. The church there wasn't turning the world upside down. They were turning the world right side up. But when you have an upside down world and you start to turn it right side up, people get upset, don't they? You know, it's interesting. The Bible says the more a person or a nation turns from God, good becomes evil and evil becomes good. Have you seen that in our nation? What used to be called good is now evil. What used to be called evil is now called good and acceptable. That's a sign that a nation is perishing and dying. And so, again, we should be those that are turning the world upside down. These guys were turning the world upside down. A great accusation. I love it. And so notice this, verse 7, Jason has harbored them, and these are all acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there's another king, Jesus. And, of course, the false accusations and the way they're presenting this. And notice this, they troubled the crowd. There it is. It wasn't enough for them to be troubled. They got to get other people troubled with them. A little bit of gossip. Well, a lot of gossip, a lot of slander. And the rulers of the city, when they heard these things, so they troubled them and the rulers as they heard it. And so when they had taken security from Jason, that is like a bond, if you will, and the rest, they let them go. So basically, they trouble them, they arrest them, they give them bond, and Paul's not even there, right? They're hiding Paul, and they arrest these guys, or at least Paul wasn't there. I don't know if they were hiding him or he just wasn't there. They get these guys out of jail. Now they realize we got to get Paul out of here. Look at verse 10. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. Now we're leaving the first setting, the Thessalonians. Coming to the second setting, the Bereans, that second group of Christians I was talking about, which is what I want Calvary Chapel to be. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now, you got to love these guys. I love Paul because Paul just fled from one city because the Jews wanted to kill him because of his message. So he goes to the next city, and what does Paul say? Hey, let's get to another synagogue. You know, I'd be thinking, hey, let's hit Starbucks and make a plan, right? You know, Paul's like, no, the synagogue, let's go. Come on, you got to love this guy, man. We're talking a fireball. And so Paul goes, he doesn't care. He's going to preach the truth. He knows that God has sent the Messiah first to the Jews. He's going to do what God's called him to do. He's going to reason from the scriptures and see who he can pull out of there into the kingdom. And this is the kind of heart that we need to have. Paul has that. And notice, this is probably the most important verse I want you to note today. Verse 11, these, that is in Berea, were more fair-minded or literally noble or noble-minded than those in Thessalonica in that. And I've got it underlined, in that. Here's why they were more noble-minded. Note this, guys. In that they received the word of God with all readiness and they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Here's the two elements we need to be the Christian God wants us to be and what the Bereans latched onto. Number one, when you came this morning, you should be open to receive everything God has for you. You should walk in these doors saying, God, whatever you have for me today, I'm open to receive it. I'm ready to hear your voice. I'm ready to change if I need to change. I'm ready to kick into gear if I need to kick into gear, take action if I need to take action. Whatever needs to be done, I'm ready. I'm wide open, Lord. Here I am. Part two, but it better be in the Bible. And that's exactly the Bereans. I want to see where it is. They were more fair-minded. See, here's the problem. When he went to the Thessalonians, they just believed him. And as I said, good thing it was Paul and not a false teacher that had been led astray. With the Bereans, yeah, they believed him, but they went back daily and they searched the scriptures to make sure that it was right. Because again, even those with best intentions can sometimes share something that may not be exactly accurate. Guys, it's too important when we stand before the Lord to know we're right. It's too important in these last days to know where we stand, what truth is, what is not truth. Some of you guys that listen to 101.1, you've heard the teacher on there, Chuck Missler. And Chuck used to sometimes wear a shirt that would say on the front of it, he's standing up to teach. I remember seeing a picture of it. He's standing up to teach and says, don't believe a word I say. How would you like your pastor to have a shirt that said that? It'd be like, well, let's find another church, right? But then you turn around on the back and it said Acts 17:11. And it didn't say what it said. You had to look it up, I think. And that is, they didn't just believe what Paul said. They got their Bible out and found out. Pastor Mark, where is that? Where is that in the Bible? You're not challenging me. I'm not challenged by that. Now, if it's ugly and you've got some point to make, where exactly is that? You know, that's different. People with an attitude that are trying to cause a fight, that's one thing. Jesus didn't have a lot of patience with those guys. The rabbis, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, they would come and do that. And the Lord was like, you're a brood of vipers. You know, he's pretty rough with them. Don't worry, I'm not going to do that to you guys. I'm not going to call you a brood of vipers. I'm not going to ask him a question. You ask him a question. Look, when you come up and say, hey, Pastor Mark, where's that in the Word? Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for that. What that means is you're being a Berean. You just want to see it? Great, I'm glad you said it, but where is that? That's really neat. Not only can I confirm that it's really there, but I can share it with other people. I want them to see this. Where is that verse? Show it to me. It's great. These guys are doing it the right way, and they're doing it the way that we need to be doing it, believing the Lord with all readiness to receive it, and yet searching the scriptures to find out if these things be so. Notice this, verse 12. Look at the result of that. the result of reasoning with them and showing them the scripture so they would see they had a truth standard to stand on and not just Paul's opinion, end quote. Verse 12, therefore many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. So the result of it was, is that there was a move of God's Spirit. People got saved. But when the Jews from Thessalonica, now these are the same guys that got mad at him and ran him out of town in Thessalonica, right? When the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was preached by Paul at Berea, you know, hey, he did it here, now he's in Berea, they came there also. And they stirred up that crowd. It's like, you know, it's not enough to stay where I am and cause trouble. I'll chase you to the next town. How would you like people to do that? They hate you so much, they're like, where are you headed next? Well, Chattanooga. All right, load it up, guys. We're going, you know. And, you know, these guys were like spiritual terrorists or something, chasing him around. And notice, then immediately the brethren set Paul away to go to the sea, but both Silas and Timothy remained there. Said, Paul, look, it's you they're really after. Go ahead and get out of here. You going up, go to the next place. We'll meet up later. We'll stay here. It doesn't tell us why they were staying there, probably because some discipleship. You know, they needed the new believers that had given their life. They were going to stay maybe and disciple them, help a church get established, get them started, whatever the case. It doesn't tell us why, but they sent Paul away so that Paul wouldn't be so attacked and they could move on to the next area. By the way, when you see people that are used in great ways, you see great attack against them. You know, in one way, I guess it's kind of nice not being used in a huge way because you don't have to worry so much. But I look at some of these guys that are used in really big ways. I mean, there are entire websites out there that are set up to attack certain people. Entire websites. They do nothing but just try to attack them and tear them down because they're being used for the kingdom in great ways. These guys are willing to travel wherever they have to travel. They didn't have the internet, so they had to hop on camels and run to Berea. But either way, and look at verse 15. So those who conducted Paul brought him to Athens, and receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him with all speed, they departed. Now notice this. So Paul gets there in Athens. He sees something in Athens that makes him send a message back to Silas and Timothy. And he says, guys, you got to get here as fast as you can. And if you've ever been to Athens, I know what it was that made him send for him so fast. Nothing against Athens, but it's a very corrupt place. And it was corrupt 2,000 years ago. And today it's still corrupt. We did an extension trip one time on some of the journeys of Paul, not the full journeys. We didn't do the seven churches and all that, but we went to Corinth and Athens and all that after a trip to Israel one time. And it's just amazing to see how corrupt it is. I mean, it's basically pornography in the streets. And if you ever take your family there, your kids there, be ready for that, be aware of that, and prepare accordingly. But apparently it was the same way back then, and they had all these false gods back then. We're going to see next week, Paul goes up there and finds all these guys sitting around, all sharing their, are you ready, their opinions. And nobody can prove the other one wrong because all of them are educated and they all have good opinions. And Paul walks in with the authoritative word of God and says, yes, but this is the word of God, and this is truth. And we're going to see next week that Paul takes the battle to the opinionators, if you will, there in Athens. And we'll see that some get saved and some don't. But now he calls for Silas and Timothy to come and join him because it's so important. Guys, as we finish this today, there's several things I want to point out to you. The first thing is that when it comes to what's happening in America today and the people around us and all the different things that are happening culturally and societally around us, if all we do is argue on our opinion from the position of a Christian, we will fail. But if we will reason from the scriptures, the authority of God's word, it's not that everyone will turn and follow, but some will see and some will be saved and some will join us in the kingdom.
Thanks for coming to the table of God's Word with Pastor Mark for his study in the book of Acts. This groundbreaking book is what spearheaded the Christian movement as we know it, recounting the beginnings of the church. What an incredible time it must have been, experiencing eyewitnesses of Jesus being passionate and bold in their faith. These disciples, who became apostles of the faith, are inspiring in their courage and in their sacrifice. It doesn't go without notice that all the original disciples were brutally killed for their faith or tortured and exiled. Why would these people do this? What was worth risking and even losing their lives for? Well, it's a fact that what they lived and died for was and is true to this day. Jesus came to save, and by believing in that, life here on earth doesn't hold the end all to living. Have you come to a belief in what you've heard today? We'd like to know. If you go to thewaymedia.net, you'll find a questions and comments link. Go ahead and fill out this form, and we'd like to know what you gained from today's teaching, as well as anything we can be praying for. You can also listen to additional messages in this series and other books of the Bible in the Come to the Table section at thewaymedia.net. Well, that's all the time we have for today, but Pastor Mark has more to share from the exciting book of Acts. We're thankful that you are a part of our listening audience today, and we look forward to you tuning in to our next edition. So come hear more from Pastor Mark next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.